You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In September last year, British artist Baxter Dury released his ninth studio album, Alberoni, under Heavenly Recordings. From the end of this month, Dury will be performing across the globe as a part of his Alberoni tour, with two dates at the Hollywood Avondale in Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland on the 2nd and 3rd of May, and at Miao Nui in Te Whanganui Atara, Wellington. Now, I had the privilege of speaking to him last week about the tour. We also chatted about the album and how he's feeling about heading down under.
I'm Baxter Dury, and nice to meet you. Answer the text, answer the phone. Tell me if you're coming to Alberoni. Answer the text, answer the phone. Tell me if you're coming to Alberoni.
Alberoni marks quite a change sonically in your music, I would say. What sparked this change for you?
Boredom and finding something new to do, and I can afford to sort of shift around, I think, because I'm not really beholden to anyone. I'm not in a band, and I'm kind of feel like, whether I'm right or wrong, that I make my own path, and I don't think really anyone cares really what bossa nova thing I do next, if you know what I mean. So I just was just sort of wanted to be re-stimulated in a way.
Has the reception of Alberoni been what you have expected, especially from fans who have been following you throughout the years, as this is your ninth album, if I'm not mistaken?
I find my kind of fan base pretty consistent. I think they're happy and they like the live shows, and they're not resistant to anything. Don't think I'm that kind of artist where people were expecting anything. I think it's always a mixed thing, isn't it? You kind of think you might win the Pulitzer Prize, but you don't. But I'd like to.
As we've mentioned, Alberoni is your ninth album. How have you changed and developed as an artist since your debut album, Len Parrott's Memorial Lift? You mentioned that you're not in a band and you kind of go with the flow. Has that sort of been a thing you've had since the very beginning, or has that sort of changed as you've grown as an artist?
Well, I think you grow and you can have, you're afforded certain privileges if you've maintained a career, and that is then supported by, if you can support yourself by doing it and you feel confident and comfortable, then you can make other choices, you know. When you first start, you're a bit more aware that there's not many, you know, there's quite a lot of pressure, isn't there, of whoever you are, and you're just not as worldly. So now I feel like I'm pretty happy that I can do this and I get kind of paid to do it, you know what I mean? Not I kind of get paid, but I generate enough of an income that no one questions it. So that means, yeah, it's easier now than it was when you started, is a long-winded way of answering your question.
Alberoni is named after All Bar One, which is a pub chain in the UK. If you were to imagine this album as a drink, what drink would that be?
A kind of alcoholic tea.
An alcoholic tea?
Yeah.
Like an English breakfast, an Earl Grey? What are you thinking?
Some sort of, some sort of beef and hedonist tea that someone drinks unnecessarily. That's all I can say.
Fair enough. Why do you say that?
I don't know. Why do you ask me that?
Being metaphorical, I guess. Wanted to ask you a question that you might have not been asked before. Maybe you have. I don't know.
And I answered it, and it just came out. It was impulsive, so it must be real.
Now, Alberoni was produced by Paul Epsworth, who has worked with musicians such as Adele and Florence with the Machine. What was this experience like for you? Was it different than working with other producers in the past?
I mean, there's a confidence with Paul that makes him very relaxed. There's also a kind of an eccentricity with him that's, means he sort of works within his own rule, but which is actually quite nice, actually. So you're not, he's not anxious about the process, and I think for him it was a reintroduction a little bit, because he'd taken a bit of a time off, so he was having a lot of fun. So the experience was entirely positive, and we were kind of friends, but I'd say we're really good friends now, and we're also working on something new already, so we're quite enthusiastic.
Can you give us any hints as what that is, or are you going to keep that quiet for now?
Well, we're just starting to make new music for whatever that will be. But it's just, and we're sort of advancing it or taking it somewhere else and keeping a kind of tempo with it. But we're just having so much fun. And actually, I think that for however long it lasts for will grow musically with us. You know, that's how we kind of operate. Yeah. So also to answer your question, yeah, it was a brilliant experience. And still is.
Shizit's Kubla Khan, son of the prodigal. I built this land from town to town. An empty bed with a distant sense that 1 month later there was nothing left.
Speaking to your tour here in New Zealand, this will be your first time performing in New Zealand. Will this also be your first time being in the country as well?
Yeah, I'm really excited. Maybe the most excited I am about visiting anywhere this year, and I'm visiting a lot of places. New Zealand and Brazil are the two places I've always wanted to go, and I'm going to them within a month. So I'm really excited by that, yeah. I wish I had more time there, that's all I'd say.
Maybe just after your tour, come back here. I know you're on tour for a good few months. Just, you end off in Ireland, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a quick trip back to New Zealand. Nothing like an easy 20-hour plus trip. That's nothing, you know.
I got a feeling that we'll get on quite well, New Zealand and I.
I think we will. I mean, your show at the Hollywood Avenue here in Auckland has had a second show because it's been such high demand. How does that feel for you as an artist, having listeners across the globe being so interested and excited to see you?
It's a great feeling, actually. It's really nice. I think especially, like I say, to repeat New Zealand of all places, I'm really happy. I think that I hope that's the beginning of us coming out as many times as we can. But I mean, apart from the flight, that's the only thing I'm not excited about.
Yeah, no, it's a long flight. I mean, you're starting in Australia, so you won't be too jet lagged when you get here.
It's only a few hours off, isn't it? I mean, it's only like, I don't know, I'm not going to think about it.
You're in Melbourne first, so that's roughly 2 hours, so it's not too bad.
Okay, fair enough.
What do you mentioned that on this tour you're looking forward to Brazil and New Zealand the most. What about New Zealand are you looking forward to specifically?
Well, you know, one thing is the people, but I just get a sense of it. People I really admire always talk about something. There's a special thing about the land, and I just want to see it. I want to experience it. I want to breathe it in for a moment on my own and have one of those moments that you have. That the nearest thing for me to be ever spiritual is when you kind of somewhere and it's spectacular. I'm not sure we'll get into the rural side of New Zealand, but that's where I'd like to go and see.
We've touched on your tour. You're going to Brazil, you're going to a bunch of different countries. You're starting in Melbourne in Australia at the end of this month, and you're finishing off the Alberoni tour in Ireland at the end of August. Do you have any sort of pre-tour routines and rituals that help you prepare for such a long time on the road?
You know what I try and do is I try and get relatively fit. I sort of remain fit mostly throughout the year, but I try and tune that up, not because I'm want to be stage buff, but if you're in a good space and feel healthy, you try and maintain that so you don't, you're not at the mercy to bad food when you're tired and all that sort of stuff. And then the other thing to do is start reading a lot, because once you're reading, it's such a meditative thing. It can sort of put your mind at peace in the sort of adrenaline schedule of a tour. The worst thing is not sleeping, because you get off stage, you're forced to sleep, and then you have to get up early. You get off stage, get to bed quickly, get into a book. I mean, I'm reading my Kindle within 40 minutes off stage, against the myth that it might all be me and a harpoon and some raw meat. It's not.
Fair enough. And what are you reading at the moment?
I'm reading a mixture of things, actually. I'm reading a book about Malcolm X. I'm reading a Laurie Lee book about Civil War. And I'm reading Murakami book. So, yeah.
Some pretty intense choices there. Doesn't really sound like bedtime reading to me.
Well, you know, anything works. I mean, I fall asleep after the second sentence.
What can us here in New Zealand expect from your performances at the Hollywood Avondale and down in Wellington as well?
Well, I mean, I guess it's quite lively. We put a lot into it. It's quite a full show. And I think it's his own thing, really. It's kind of, I find it uncomfortable trying to describe selling myself in that way, but it's, you know, I hope it's, if you like the music and it's good.
Let the music speak for itself.
Yeah.
Thought about. But I still got Schadenfreude.
That was my interview with the lovely Baxter Drury. If you want to see him at the Hollywood Avondale, the 3rd of May show has sold out, unfortunately, but due to popular demand, he has another show here on the 2nd of May, and you can get tickets from Live Nation.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.